Philippians chapter 4. We've had a lot of guest speakers this month, and you've, of course, grown to expect that in Missions Emphasis Month, and we've heard a lot of voices. I tried to plug in my slots in February and preach a little bit on missions. I like taking a month and just settling in on this subject. And so we're going to preach out of Philippians chapter 4. Remember, this is God using the Apostle Paul to write this. Remember that he's a missionary. And by the way, remember that he's writing back to a church that's been very faithful in their financial support so that he's been able to do what the Lord has called him to do. And so Philippians 4, we begin in verse number 10, Philippians 4, 10, if you'll stand with me for the reading of the Bible, if you're able, Philippians 4, verse 10, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. But now, ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me. And communicate in verse 14, communicate in verse number 15, is talking about finances, talking about sending money to him. No church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye also, for even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, dear God, for an opportunity to speak on this subject. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to, Lord, as we are now kind of go through the process. We're coming down to the end of a month of hearing what we've heard, experiencing the things we've experienced. Sort through all of that. I just pray, Lord, that we would recommit in this area of our life to missions giving. And so I pray, Lord, that you'd use these biblical principles to help solidify in our heart exactly what you would have each of us to do when it comes to supporting our worldwide missions program here at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And thank you very much for standing. You can be seated. If I was going to name the message tonight, I would name it, If a Missionary Envelope Could Talk. If a Missionary Envelope Can Talk. Look at you, all you children, look up here. You've seen one of these before? Right in front of you in your pew, you can find a missions envelope, an envelope, an offering envelope that says missions offering. And if you're a kid, I want you to grab one right now. Parents, help them out. Search them out, young people. We've got some young people here. I got some for you guys on the front row. I knew these girls that sat behind you hog them all, so I want you to take that. Are you a kid? You're still a kid. Yeah, all these guys. When you're 63, everybody that's under 50 is a kid, so I'm not giving you one. But there you go. Now, wonder if these things could talk. So put them up by your ear. Everybody get one. Put them up by your ear. You hear anything yet? Not yet. Okay, well, keep it handy because I think it's going to talk to you tonight a little bit about missions giving. I think if this envelope could talk, by the way, I love these envelopes. And I'm hoping more and more of you, maybe that haven't, would grab a missions envelope, a missions offering envelope, and participate in giving the missions. And I do understand people give in different ways. And sometimes somebody writes one check and then they'll put on the little memo, we want this to go to general account, this. I could do that too, but I just like grabbing a missions envelope and putting it in there and designating an offering every month for for our missions, worldwide missions. Preacher, why do you have such a heart for missions? Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And I got to think, just look up here. By the way, you know what? I don't play the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. You're either listening to him or you're not, you know? And I don't know if there's anything I can say that can amplify that one way or another. It's a personal decision we all need to make. But I am so glad that as a young person, I was challenged by the scriptures and challenged by my pastor to get involved in missions giving. And I think it's been one of the greatest delights in my life. Now, look up here, young people, because, you know, I can't change people that won't be changed. But you ought to grow up with a mentality about this. The Bible tells, Jesus tells us to lay up treasures for ourselves in heaven and not on earth. And I see a lot of people, you know, well, you know what? They cut corners on their tithes to give the bare minimum. Won't bring an extra offering. And you know what they're doing with that money? They're socking it away in a 401k. And you know what? Maybe at the end of their life, they drive a little nicer car than the rest of us. They get to go on some vacations that maybe we don't get to go on. You know what? They live in a little fancier house. Maybe they can go buy some designer stuff that the rest of us can't. But when I think about that, I thought, yes, you're earthly rich, but you're going to be heavenly poor. You're earthly rich, but I'm talking about Christians that I've watched just, you know, nickel dime God to death and then sock away a bunch of stuff for themselves. And right now, I mean, listen, I'm at the age where most of my contemporaries are retired or about to retire. And I watch some of them that I know have robbed God all through the year. I believe they're born again Christians, but they've nickel and dime God. And now they're putting on Facebook. They're going here and they're going there and they got this. But you know, one of these days, folks, I don't know if you realize this, none of this stuff's going with you. And I wonder how many Christians are going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ having been earthly rich, but heavenly poor. And so, you know what? I'm going to do what God says to do. Say, preacher, you should have saved more for retirement. Well, folks, listen to me. Talk to those people that are retired. You're not retired very long, but you're in eternity forever, okay? And you know what? We got some promises here. And I think if we'd listen to these little envelopes, they might try again. Anybody hearing anything yet? Not yet? All right. Stay with it now. I think if this envelope could talk, every time you open it up and you put an offering on here for our worldwide missions, I think, first of all, you'd hear this. You are doing the right thing. You are doing the right thing. It just does something in my heart to know. Listen, doing right is its own reward. When you do something you know is right, it has a built-in reward. By the way, whether or not you realize it, when you fail to do what's right, there's a built-in consequence that is having an effect on your spirit and your soul. You're robbing yourself of joy. So if this thing could talk, I think it would say, when I pick it up and I'm getting ready to put my offering in it, you're doing the right thing. Where do you get that? Verse 14, notwithstanding ye have... What's the next two words? Well done, well done. Now think about that later on. One of the verses says that this is well-pleasing into verse number 18, well-pleasing to God. And so every time I give to missions, one of the things I can hear this envelope say to me is you are doing the right thing. You are doing the right thing. I don't always get that assurance. Sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I've helped people because they've come to me and you're sitting there, come on, you've all been there. Am I helping them or am I enabling them, you know? And sometimes I've helped people. And I guess, you know, I guess if I'm going to err on the side of generosity. I'm going to err on the side of trying to be a blessing. But sometimes you walk away from a situation having helped somebody and you're thinking, did I do the right thing or did I do the wrong thing? Should I really have given them that? And what are they going to do with it really? You know, did I give them a hand up or a hand out? I don't mind giving people a hand up, but I don't like giving people a hand out. And, you know, so sometimes you have those questions. Let me tell you this. When I do this, I never have that question. I've got the full assurance of the Holy Spirit of God. You know, again, you do what God directs you to do. But even a lot of the charities, and what store can you go to now where they're not wanting you to round up for something? You know, would you round up for this? Would you round up for that? Would you round up for this? And a lot of these organizations have real cool names and the kind of names that where you think, well, this sounds like a good cause. But the honest truth is I've done that sometimes and thought, I don't know anything about that. Where did that really go? What is really being done with that? How much of that money is actually getting to what they're using to raise? But you know what? I don't have any of those concerns when I do this, because I've got a biblical principle, a Bible verses that tell me, hey, you know what? If I could hear this thing talk, it would say, you are doing the right thing. Let me tell you what else it would say, it says to me. Number two, your gift will be rewarded at the judgment seat. Your gift will be rewarded at the judgment seat. Look at verse 17. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. And, you know, Brother Dunn said it this morning, but he said, you know, he told me what a roll of paper cost in Sunday school. And I thought to myself, you know what, we've got enough in the missions. We can do that. And so I think after we, you know, I got up and said, folks, what do you think? $1,600, and I think we wrote $50. He said $1,645. They can buy a roll of paper. And then he gets up and says, you know, that roll of paper, $15,000 John and Romans be printed out of that. That's going to go in somebody's hand. And, you know, he said this. He said, isn't it going to be neat to get to heaven one of these days? Isn't it going to be neat to see where those John and Romans went? He said, church, don't you understand that every person's life that was touched and affected and every soul that was saved because of the Bible being put in their hand, some of that's going to your account. I'm going to tell you something. You will be glad one of these days at the judgment seat that you faithfully give to missions. We do a lot around here to try to get the gospel out. We do a lot around here to try to see people saved. I've said this, I'll continue to say it. You know what? Of all the things that we do, and all, by the way, I'm for all of it. You know, buying the gospel tracts, passing them out, going door to door, running these buses, bring these kids in. And we see people saved as a result of those things. But let me tell you something. Go back and read those letters. You know what? The number one thing that we do that produces souls saved that will one day meet the kingdom of God is through our worldwide missions program. Now, folks, we still need to be doing our part around here. But I'm just saying, you know what, if we get to heaven one of these days and you sat, come on, I can't live your life, but you sat in the church for 20, 25 years and never give one extra dollar to worldwide missions, and you're going to see the souls that were saved and the people are getting the rewards. I don't care what kind of car you drove down here. It ain't going to matter then. I don't care how fancy your clothes are or how much of a big shot in the community people think you are because you have a fancy house. None of that's going to be matter. Don't be earth rich and heaven poor one of these days. So try it again, kids. Maybe you're hearing it now. It's saying you are doing the right thing. It's saying this, your gift will be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. I think if we listened, it might tell us a third thing. Your gift is making a difference in the life of a missionary. Now, folks, this is something that we don't get to see on our end of it. It's something we have to do by faith. So we look at the testimony of the Apostle Paul in verse number 18. And he says this, but I have all and abound. Why could he say that? I am full, so I have all and abound. So I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the thing which was sent from you. And we see the giving end. But we're not there to visualize, to actually see the impact it's having in missionaries' life. By the way, the Apostle Paul shared something else in this portion of Scripture. He said, listen, there were some times when you lacked opportunity. Listen to verse number 10. Wherein you also were careful, but you lacked opportunity. So they wanted to give to him. But you ought to understand, folks, back in those days, you just didn't go to the bank and wire it to somebody's account. They had assigned a man like Epaphroditus. They'd gather the offering. And they'd say, the last we heard, the Apostle Paul was here. And by the time he got there, he was somewhere else. You know why? Because wherever the Spirit led him, he went. And sometimes it might be months before the offering actually got to him. And so then he says this, not that I speak, verse 11, respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And here's the testimony of a missionary. He said, I know how to be abased. There's times where, you know what, I was brought low. I just didn't have anything. And he said, I know how to abound. I everywhere in all things, I'm instructed both to be full, to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now, this is what his testimony is. You know what? When the support came, you know what? Then I abounded. And then, you know what? I was full. And you know what? I was blessed. But there were times also where there was none of the churches communicating to us. And you know what? I was abased. Think about this. I was hungry. I suffered need. And so every missionary understands and experiences both of these things. And then he said in verse 13, I love his attitude. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And you know what, folks? It's good in all of our lives sometimes to go through a time of need and a time of being abased and a time of being hungry and a time of suffering need. If you've never been there, you don't appreciate it when the blessings do come. Right. And so he said, you know what? I surrender to serve the Lord. And if it means I'm full, I'm serving the Lord. If I have to do it hungry, I'm serving the Lord. If I'm abased, I'm going to serve the Lord. If I'm abounding, I'm going to, you know, we need that kind of determination. I don't understand this. Well, I'll live for Christ as long as everything goes well. Or I'll live for Christ as long as it doesn't cost me too much. I'll live for Christ as long as God doesn't ask me to go through a trial. But the minute it starts getting tough, I'm bailing on God. Well, you just don't have much dedication. And by the way, did Christ bail on you? Did he suffer for you? You know what? Then what are we complaining about? You know, we need a generation that just says, I'm dedicating my life to God no matter what it is. Whatever that means. You know what? Whatever comes with it, then I'm serving the Lord. And that's his attitude here. But wait a minute, folks. That doesn't mean he's not a real human being. Hey, listen, those aren't just pictures on letters back there. Those little children's names that are on those prayer cards, they're real kids. Come on, wives. Every one of those missionary wives are real wives and real mothers. Come on, with that sensitivity that God gives them to want to care for their family and make sure their family's taken care of. And hey, you know what? A missionary kid should always have to hear, no, we can't do that. No, we can't afford that. No, we can't go there. You know what? You don't want to have to give your kids that answer every time. And you know what? Hey, you know what? I want our missionaries, listen, I want them to have the testimony of Paul when it says, I am full. You know, I want them to do well. If you think that, you know, preacher, let's support these missionaries, but let's just barely make their needs because, you know, they're missionaries and they need to suffer. Well, you're called to be a missionary too. And I'm called to be a missionary too. It's amazing how we expect some Christians to live by faith, but we don't expect other Christians. Listen, we're all supposed to live by faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. So if you're justified, then you're supposed to live by faith just the same as a missionary is supposed to live by faith. And so let's not have this attitude. Preacher, when we start planting churches, you know what? We raised a lot of money to underwrite these churches. I took the time to send these guys out on deputation. You know what? We spent a lot of money getting them set up and launched. And it doesn't matter. No matter what you do, somebody's going to criticize you. You know, I've learned that in Christianity, so you just don't worry about it. But I mean, a very prominent national known pastor criticized our church for the way that we do it. He said, I think you're just making it too easy for them. And I thought to myself, first of all, that pastor's never planted a church in his life. By the way, I have.
Right. That's right.
I have, okay? And you know what? I think to myself, you know what? Wait a minute. So what does that mean? Because what? We're making sure that they're financially taken care of? You know, church planters are supposed to starve. By the way, I watched all of his kids graduate from Bible college, and he gave them ready-made positions in his ministry where they had a full salary and a housing allowance. It's amazing how some people are supposed to live by faith. What do you mean making it too easy? Let me just remind you something. Church planting is not easy. They're going to face hardship. They're going to face challenges. And missionary work is not easy. They're going to have enough things to deal with. The one thing they shouldn't have to worry about is whether their kids are going to eat that day or not. So you know what? We're the ones to ensure that that's taken care of. And by the way, hey, sign me up. Put me at the front of the line. I'll sacrifice to take care of those that are willing to go. So I think we hear this. You're doing the right thing. But come on, kids, check it out again, all right? I think it's talking to us. You're doing the right thing. Your gift will be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. Your gift is making a difference in the life of a missionary. How about this? Your gift is being seen by God as a sacrifice made directly to Him. Now, when I open this envelope, put it in there, and I think I'm giving to missionaries, God says, well, you think you're giving to missionaries, but the way I see it, you just gave that to me. You say, preacher, where's that in the Bible? Verse 18. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to who? So you know what? This missionary envelope, when I put money in it, and I put it in the plate, God's like, you know what? I know you meant that for them, and it will go to them. But you know what? In my mind, in God's mind, that's a sacrifice to me, a sacrifice to me. Not just any sacrifice, folks, but think about that. You know, I don't know how all this works in heaven, but I believe the Bible. And you know what? Okay, you've been listening to your envelope, everybody? Now I need you to smell your envelope, okay? What do you smell? I know. I don't smell a whole lot, but God smells something.
Right.
What does it say right there in that verse? Verse 18, an odor of sweet smell. Now, you know, that's in reference to the Old Testament sacrifices. Read that. Study it out in the Bible. When they would bring that sacrifice, that lamb sacrifice, and God would see that they're bringing a pure sacrifice and their motive is right, He would always say that sacrifice that was offered to Him was rising up to heaven, those burnt sacrifices, and God just leaned out from the banisters of heaven and said, boy, that's a sweet smell. My people are sacrificing to me. Folks, that's the same exact thing that He says about giving money to missionaries and missionary giving. So not just any sacrifice, one that releases a sweet smell. Think about this. According to this Bible, one that is acceptable to God, one that is well-pleasing to God. And so maybe this thing is talking to us tonight. Maybe it's saying you're doing the right thing. Maybe it's saying your gift will be rewarded at the judgment seat. Maybe it's saying your gift is making a difference in some little missionary kid's life, missionary's wife life. You know what? They shouldn't have to, listen, not be able to buy them decent clothes. They shouldn't have to have them walking around with holes in their shoes. I mean, come on. They ought to be cared for. Hey, by the way, wouldn't it be nice if a missionary could go out to eat every once in a while? I think all of us do that. Come on now. So what's wrong with them doing that, you know? And then this last thing, I think if you listened real good, you might hear the envelope say, your gift is securing you a promise of God's special care for you and your family. Your gift is securing for you a promise of God's special care for your family. Look at verse 19, verse number 19. But my God, think about that. This is right after verse 18. I have all in abound. I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus. And then that odor of sweet smell, sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But, he said this, don't forget, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, I've watched Christians pry that out of context and just walk that around waving it like a flag. I can say, see, God promised to provide all my need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You don't get to pull it out of context.
Right.
That is in relationship to your willingness to sacrificially, generously give to those missionary families that are out there around the world.
Amen.
Around the world. Now, folks, once a month, Brother Young stops what he's doing. He's our treasurer, and he runs off a whole bunch of checks back there. I mean, the machine's going da-dun, da-dun, da-dun. And you know what? Every month they go in the mail. And every month, you know what? They're going to some missionary family. And hey, we're not the only ones. Now, there is a few missionaries back there. We're supporting these church plants through Global Planters, where everything that missionary gets to plant a church comes directly from one church, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. But folks, it's not us, just us. Thank God there's this, you know, this fellowship of believers and these churches like ours scattered all over the country that have a heart for missions. And they're picking up these missionaries. And, you know, those missionaries get out there. Listen, one of the burdens I carry, one of the things I'm so careful about, I don't want to commit to these missionaries, send them across the sea, and tell them, we're going to support you. And then, you know what? fail in that area, I don't want to have to write a letter saying, you know, well, missions giving's down, and you know the economy, and you know this, and you know that, and those missionaries, every year they'll have churches drop them, sometimes because the devil gets in and tears the church up, sometimes because, you know what, some group of people decide they'd rather have the money to buy padded pews than they would support the missionaries. You know, something for us, another level comfort for us, something nicer for us. But folks, listen to me. We need to guard against all of that. Let's make sure we keep a heart for missions. Well, kids, I don't know if you heard anything else, heard anything or not. And by the way, I don't know if you smelled anything or not, but I know this. God's trying to tell us something and teach us something. And maybe he's used this tonight, just a simple missions offering envelope. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to sacrificially give in accordance to the direction of the Holy Spirit and the instruction that we find in the Bible. And Lord, I pray, dear God, as we end a missions emphasis month, you'll stir our hearts. Holy Spirit, you do and will communicate to each and every one of us exactly what we're supposed to do. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to take this thing seriously. Lord, it'd be a shame if we just turned the page on a missions month and then got our mind caught up in something else and didn't listen and didn't do exactly what you would have us to do. So may we be serious about it. May we be committed to it. Lord, not something that's just emotional that goes away in a month or two, but something that is sacred and a decision made before God and a decision to be followed through with. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you... Lord, would please bless those in a sweet way, an awesome way, a tangible way. Bless those that are sacrificially given to worldwide missions. And Lord, I pray that you would, dear God, watch over them and watch over their family and bless them as you've promised to bless them. We pray these things in Jesus' name.